Go ahead and open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. I had to change my lesson tonight because Chris said a short devotional. I'm also, you know, this whole gathering people together is a real cause of offense for me because no one would sit in front of me. And Chris did sit in front of me until he sang that one set of songs in front of me, and then he moved over here. Jim, I had to make Chai sit with me. And so I just found there's all kinds of problems. You've been a stumbling block to me, brother. If you've seen the show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Maybe you came to the same realization that I did, that I'm not. But I want to ask you the question, not are you smarter than a fifth grader tonight, but instead, are you smarter than a donkey? Are you smarter than an oxen? That's the question for us this evening. In Isaiah chapter 1, it says, beginning with verse 2, "Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks, sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and its master's manger. But Israel does not know my people. They do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons of who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him." See, God says, I have reared these children. They have been mine. And I have brought them up. And they have rejected me. And He said, you know, you think about it. The oxen knows its master. The donkey knows its master. But sometimes we don't know our master, do we? So if we ask the question, am I smarter than a donkey? Some people, the answer is no. Am I smarter than an oxen? For some, the answer is no. And it has nothing to do with your IQ. Absolutely nothing. It has everything to do with your relationship with God. You know, God goes on down and He tells them all the things that they have done. He talks about how He hates their worthless offerings. He hates their new moon festivals. And He says in verse 15, "So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood." That scares me. That's a scary thought to me, to ever be at a point in my life where God doesn't want to hear my prayers. To reach that point where my hands, He says, your hands have blood. Let me tell you what, every one of us have Jesus Christ's blood on our hands. Hopefully, we're covered in His blood, right? Not just on our hands, because if it's just on our hands, we've got a problem. Because that's guilt. I want to be covered in His blood because that's cleansed. There's a real difference there. So what do we do? Verse 16, He says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil." Sounds like repent to me, doesn't it, you? "Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow." He says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken." That's powerful, isn't it? The mouth of the Lord has spoken to us tonight. You can give your life to Him. You can stop evil deeds, and your sins will be washed away. You will be white as snow. That's what God offers this evening. If you need to do that by becoming a child of God, we hope and pray that you'll make that decision to do so tonight. Believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, and be buried in baptism, having those sins washed away, having determined to go and no longer do evil. And you can be white as snow. You can be smarter than a donkey. You can be smarter than an ox. If you're a child of God and you've strayed away, like Israel had done, see, they were God's children and they had strayed away. God has reared you. He's tried to raise you, but you've rebelled. You're like the prodigal son. Come to yourself. Realize where you're at. Realize that the pigs in the pig pen are smarter than you. Get back to God. He looks for you to come. If we can assist you in any way tonight, won't you let us as we stand and as we sing.
Who seek that grand abode. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? A city with foundations, firm as eternal throne, nor wars, nor desolations shall ever move a stone. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? No night is there, no sorrow, no death and no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing, with glorified immortals, the praises of its King. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee?
Be seated, please.
Dawn comes requesting prayers this evening. She says, "Please, please pray for my sister, Shara, and her husband, Keith. She says that they are facing many trials in their marriage and that Keith's mother is terminally ill. And she asks for prayers for her sister and their family. And whoever is leading the closing prayer this evening would ask that you include this family in that prayer. And please all of us to remember them in our prayers this week.
It is good to see everyone here this evening, and I do want to thank you truly for being so cooperative and moving forward. I think that it helped with the singing. And as was mentioned at the beginning, you know, we sing primarily for giving praise and glory to our Father, but also as an encouragement to each of us as well, and that certainly helps in that aspect. So, again, thank you for